Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. This is a podcast where we will discuss the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Ken Williams. The opinions, attitudes, thoughts, and ideas that we discuss are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily a reflection of the actual doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks for listening and enjoy this week's conversation. And it is 3 weeks in a row now that we actually are having a conversation. It's not me just talking. So I don't know if that's good or bad. I guess you can let me know if we get better thoughts when it's not me just telling you what I think. But we have Julia back. Welcome back, Julia.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, that's good. We'll fix that.
Right.
So as I have talked about in the past, I sometimes will just have random thoughts as I'm doing whatever. A lot of times it's in a lesson or as I'm in the scriptures, or sometimes I'm just considering something. And that's where a lot of the topics for the podcast come. And so I texted Julia and I said, podcast discussion. I sent the text on a Friday. So what was I doing? I was probably listening to a podcast about prayers. And there are a lot of different opinions about prayers and how prayers work. And I don't have all the answers. So that's why we brought Julia in, because she has all the answers. But when God doesn't answer prayers the way that we want, is that because it isn't His will? Or is He just letting things happen naturally? And then I added a bonus question. Is there a reason for the prayer to be answered when it is? And is there a reason for the prayer not to be answered when it's not? And I guess, I think what I'm asking is, how involved is God in our lives?
Well, that's a really good question, Ken.
I don't know the answers.
You know, I like to think that God's involved in the details of our life. Mm-hmm. And since I like to think that, and since I like to think that He's aware of all of us and He's interested in all of us and that He has a plan for all of us, I like to think that He's engaged in all of it. So, whether that's true or not, I don't know that it even matters.
I don't know that it matters either, but I'm wondering. So I guess one of the ways that I think about this is, I think there are a couple ways that we can think about the fact that God sometimes answers prayers. And when I say that, let me just clarify. We want something and we get it. And so as an example, I have a good friend who, I don't know how many years, 20 years ago, was diagnosed with a terminal form of cancer. It was aggressive. It was diagnosed late. And of course, there were prayers for his recovery. And he's still alive. He, at the time, his youngest son was in high school, and the thought was he's not going to make it to his son's graduation. Well, he's not only made it to his son's graduation, but his son is married and has 3 kids. And my friend is still going strong. So it is really easy to interpret that as God answered our prayers. And then at the same time, I have a friend whose brother, I think it was her brother, was diagnosed with cancer. And of course, families praying and hoping and wanting and wishing, and he ends up dying. So do we attribute the successful granting, and this is all in air quotes, of what we want, to God answering our prayers, and the unsuccessful not granting to God not answering our prayers? Is it all God answering our prayers, just sometimes yes, sometimes no, or is it something different? And I think, especially based on some of the conversations that we've had on the podcast over the last couple of weeks, I have a couple new thoughts that are starting to bubble up. But I want to get your insight, because is He directing? Is He the master chess player, or is He letting things happen totally hands off, and just there as a support, or is there some kind of accommodation?
I think, gosh, that's really a good question once again. But the question makes me think of kind of two different things. And it's not answering the question specifically, because I think the only way we could know, you know, is if God decided to share with us directly what his thoughts were on that, or what his engagement level is. So I just jump into thoughts about faith and thoughts about God's timing.
Okay.
And relative to faith, I sort of posture myself relative to faith. And who am I, and how am I going to show up if I am going to be a person of faith, if I am going to be believing?
Right.
And I tend to like who I am in the world a little bit better when I am that person who shows up in faith, being believing. And there's zero risk, right? Yeah. There's zero risk, because it doesn't really affect the outcome. It doesn't really, it doesn't really change the circumstances. It just makes my experience of the circumstances a little more hopeful. I show up a little more optimistic, and I show up continuing to effort toward it rather than resign and remove myself away from it.
Right.
But I also challenge myself when it comes to, say, praying for something that I want or praying for a particular outcome. And I challenge myself relative to faith. Is my faith in the outcome and the how, or is my faith in the Lord? And then again, I also want to be that person who's showing up faith in the Lord instead of faith in the outcome.
Right.
And so I have to kind of surrender what it is I think I want and how I think I want it, assuming or believing that God has a plan for me and that his plan could be better than anything I could imagine for myself.
Yeah.
And when I show up that way for myself, I end up finding lots of evidence in the world that it does work out better.
Right.
And
life is better.
So I'm content. Yeah.
Life is so better when you're looking for that positive evidence. So the thing that that struck me as you were not answering the question.
Yeah.
Is
on
that
purpose.
No, and that's great, because I think that sometimes not answering the question leads us to better answers. But I think, okay, so I'm gonna set this up with a conversation, or by kind of sharing a conversation that I had with somebody the other day. That if we, and this might be what Annette and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, now I don't remember exactly. So, but if we think that that God is, we tend to think that it's an all or nothing. There's a pendulum that, yeah, Annette and I were talking about it, different context, but I think it's kind of fits this scenario too, that we think that either God is the chess player. He's making sure that we bump into the person that we're supposed to bump into, and not bump into the person that we're not supposed to bump into. And maybe we forgot where we put our keys, and that extra 30 seconds keeps us from a car accident or something like that. And so that's one end of the pendulum, that everything is meticulously scripted by God. And the other end of the spectrum is that God is ambivalent. He's disconnected, doesn't care, and just basically wishes us the best. And I don't think that either one of those is how he operates in our life. But I think, and when we talk about God has a plan for us, I don't think it's that scripted plan. I don't think that it's the, Ken is going to, at age this, because I don't want to, people know my age.
Right.
But at this age, he's going to be let go from this job. And at this age, he's going to be let go from this job. And at this age, he's going to struggle with these mental struggles. And I don't think that that is necessarily what how God operates. But I think that he has kind of a master plan that, okay, Ken is going to discover at some point, because of life and life happens, he's going to discover that he's really good at these things. And he's going to discover he's not really good at these things. And he's going to hopefully figure out that if he goes all in on the stuff that he's good at, he's going to find ways to serve his fellow man. He's going to find ways to serve me. He's going to find ways to make the world a better place. And so I think to that extent, maybe, there's a plan. And so there I went, not answering the question as well.
But maybe instead of like the master chess player, maybe God is the master recycler or master upcycler, where he takes, because we have agency, we're here with agency, and we are here to gain experience. And a lot of the experience we gain through our own choices. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we gain experience just through random circumstances. And sometimes we gain our experience through the choices of others or experience that is perpetrated upon us, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that God is able to use all of it for our good. He wastes nothing, right? And he uses all of it if we will lean in to our faith, lean into faith in him. He will use it to bless our lives and bless the lives of other people.
Yeah.
And so I think it's not that he has a master plan relative to the way it's going to play out in each of our lives. I think he just allows us to live, and then he's able to use it to make all of our lives better and create more value than we could have created without him. And so, that still allows him to be in the details of all of it, right?
Right. So what if, and this is a different way of thinking about it altogether, but what if, so we've in the past, we've probably thought of the idea of being in tune, quotes, in tune with the Spirit or in tune with God, the same way we think about being in tune with the radio station, that God is there. His presence is accessible, but it's not until we tune into the right station that we even notice that is the case. What if that being in tune is more than just a conduit for communication? What if it's I don't know what that looks like yet. This is all just kind of, been marinating. What if that is, what if there is and it makes sense in my head. I'm trying to get words to make it make sense out of my head. This human experience.
Yeah.
Where so many random things, and again, random, air quotes, seemingly random things happen. What if the more connected, the more in tune, the more we are able to take advantage of, that's not the right way of saying it, but the more that we're able to become synergistic, not just with God, but with earth and with humanity and with purpose and with love and all this thing. And it's just, and we're becoming more, I was going to say valuable, but that's not the right word. We're becoming better contributors to existence, the existence of everybody. Because if I'm in tune and I have a chocolate cake in my bag, which sometimes happens, and I get that nudge that, oh, this person needs a cake. And I've had experiences. I had an experience a few weeks ago where that's exactly what happened. And the person started to tear up and said, I need to tell you what's going on and why this is significant. And What if it's not that I'm supposed to do things, but I'm supposed to be things? And the more connected I am to being who God wants me to be, the more access I have to being an integral part of things.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a better word of things or better
I
word
love
for
that.
Things.
I love that. And I think that it makes sense, you know, in the way my view of the world and my view of being human in the world has like an underlying suggestion that there is this shared energy, right? Mm-hmm. That we are connected energetically to the past, the present, and the future, and also to heaven.
Right.
And if we are energetically connected, it would make sense. Whether you want to call it a frequency or, you know, that, or let's call it the spirit, since mm-hmm. we're talking about, we could be, and we could be so connected and so useful in that connection if we are responding to the suggestions and the shared responsibility and accountability mm-hmm. for the way the world is and yeah. the experiences of all the people in the world, we could be more useful. It kind of plays into that patterns of light that Elder Bednar talks about, where we can have thoughts brought to our mind. We can have memories brought to our mind. We can have suggestions brought to our mind. We could have an angel appear, but we're probably not going to. It's not necessary
right.
to go to that much effort and energy. He can just bring to mind words from our mother, words from a teacher, words from a general conference or something
right.
That can motivate us, move us to take action or to do something or to intervene on someone else's behalf. You know, the way yeah. the Lord answers prayers, typically they say through other people.
Right.
And it allows us to be plugged into that, I yeah. think.
So, I'm just going to say, I don't know where I stand on this yet, but I suspect that the way we pray, and I'm not talking about the structure of our prayer, but yeah. the way we pray, what we pray for, why we pray, our motivation, that sort of thing, is probably off the mark sometimes, and maybe most of the time. Maybe mm-hmm. our whole life, or maybe a purpose in our life is to figure out a better way to communicate with God. And sure, the structure that we learn in primary is important, but I don't think that the structure is I was going to say foundational, but it is foundational, but it's not our language is not really easy to work with.
Yeah, right?
because we assume things based on the words, and it's not really good at communicating some of our thoughts. But I don't think that the going back to the example of the two people with cancer, is God choosing one person to live and one person to die? I'm not sure. I'm not sure that that's what happens. And I'm not sure that there's, quote, a reason that person one lives and, quote, a reason that the other person doesn't live. I think that sometimes we have this chaos that we experience because of life. Life, there's a huge element in life that is chaos, but there's also a tremendous amount of order. If you expand from the chaos and look at, for example, a forest left to itself is going to continue to grow. It's not right. going to wither and die because of chaos being introduced to it. We ruin that.
Right.
But, you know, the deer population is not going to wither and die left to itself. It's going to continue to grow and flourish, which is why we have such a great hunting. industry in parts of the world. But so there's this order. And I think that as humans, we're part of that. We, if left to ourselves, if we connect with deity the way that we, I think, naturally are inclined to, we will continue to grow, develop, become. But I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on that. Because we have this natural man that that ruins us as well.
Right. Well, I think between the two cancer patients, like you said, I remember when, you know, my brother was killed in a car accident. Mm-hmm. And he, I'm going to say, survived the accident. He was brought to the hospital. He was still alive, medically, forensically. But I knew when we were at the hospital, I knew that if God wanted to, he could, my brother was so broken, but he could stitch my brother back up and my brother could walk out if that was God's will. Mm-hmm. And I wanted that more than anything. I thought this is just a test of faith. Let me be that person, you know, who exercises that faith and let's watch my brother be this medical miracle,
right,
and walk out of this. And I knew it was possible. And when he didn't, of course, I was devastated. Mm-hmm. And I was so brokenhearted and I was angry. And I thought, why would he not choose to save my brother? And mm-hmm.
Who was amazing.
Who was, yeah, I mean, yeah. Right? The world's better having right. him in it. And so I, one of the sort of, I'm going to say comforting scriptures or comforting bits that was shared with me afterwards was kind of that whole conversation or prayer that Joseph Smith was having in, I want to say Carthage jail, could have been a different jail. It was one of those periods of time where he was incarcerated and conditions were not good, mm-hmm. and people were suffering. The saints were suffering, and he's like, "How much longer are we going to have to endure this?" And the Lord's like, "Hey, Joseph, relax. Mm-hmm. You know, only I know how many days you have, and only I know how many days you'll be given, and you won't be given one more or one less. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid."
Right.
And be believing, right?
Yeah.
And so I've thought, okay, so Jim had that many days. And there were...
He didn't lose anything.
He didn't lose anything.
Right.
Nothing. And so as I consider that, then it becomes a question of the Lord's timing, mm-hmm. which is the other thing that this whole topic brought to mind for me.
Yeah.
It's the Lord's timing. And right. and delay is not necessarily denial.
Right.
And it doesn't, just because it doesn't happen the way we want it to happen, mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's not the way it's supposed to be, and doesn't mean that there aren't bigger blessings that are still in store for us.
Right.
Eventually. Like yeah. probably not today when we're asking for this one thing.
Right.
But if we sit tight and we continue to be faithful and be believing, we'll find out, and efforting, still continuing to effort toward the things ultimately that we want. And if what I wanted was my brother back or to have his association again, mm-hmm. without him in the physical world, it's my responsibility to make sure that I effort to a place where I can reconnect with him in the next world, right? Right. Or in the next life. And so sometimes when we're talking about waiting on the Lord or when we're talking about the Lord's timing, I also am curious sometimes, especially as it relates to me, mm-hmm. if I'm really waiting on the Lord or the Lord is waiting on me.
And I think that's a powerful question because the easy answer is, well, of course, I'm waiting on the Lord. But
yeah.
I think about... some of the experiences I've had as a parent, and there are times, for example, Allison, who is my oldest, And she and I share a lot of characteristics. She was not very extroverted growing up, still not. We share this introversion gene. And when I would take her on daddy-daughter dates, we'd go to restaurants, and I would let her, and let is a very maybe charged word.
I follow.
I made her order whatever she wanted with the server. She hated it, but I knew that it would be better for her to learn to have those interactions. And so, and that never changed. She's 30 years old. I still make her order her own food. So, so I think that, when we talk about God's timing, I don't know that it's necessarily he's waiting for a specific event to happen or that he's waiting for a specific date so that we, quote, learn whatever it is that we're supposed to learn. But I think that he gives us opportunities. One of the greatest gospel truths that I personally believe that Hollywood has ever taught is in the movie Evan Almighty, where Evan's wife is complaining to Morgan Freeman, who plays God, about how their life is getting hard. And he teaches her that if people pray for patience, do I give them patience or do I give them opportunities to be patient?
Yes.
And so I'm very careful about what I pray for because I don't want to pray for patience. I don't need any more patience than I already have. If I do want patience, I want it right now. But I think that God, when we talk about God's timing, I think it's that there is something we're supposed to become. And the hard experiences that we go through are going to help us become that, whatever that is, whether that's more kind, more loving, more compassionate, more caring, more charitable, more patient, whatever else. And so I don't think God has to intervene to make our lives harder. I think our lives just end up being what they are. And we can then take those. I think we're meaning-making organisms. We take whatever happens and we make meaning, which is why we have this saying that we love to say, well, everything happens for a reason, which is true, but not true at the same time. Say it's true and not true. I think it's we make meaning out of everything that happens. The fact that person A dies and person B doesn't die, we make meaning out of that. Sure. And the meaning might be, well, God needs this person on the other side and doesn't need this person. I don't believe that part. I believe that God can do whatever he wants with whatever he wants, like with Jim. But I do believe that God uses what he has access to. Whether it's the challenges that we're faced with, or the difficulties that we have, all that stuff, he uses or allows us to use those things to become what we are capable of.
Definitely, I agree.
So, when we talk about God answering our prayers, how involved is he at granting our wishes? Which is just the way I can think of, okay, Julia, yes, you get that. Julia, no, you don't get that one. Ken, you get this thing, and nope, you don't get that one. So is it like that? Is it like that, or is it a, is there another way, better way to think about it?
Oh, I think he's just in all of it. And I don't think it's an issue of granting yes or no for Julia or Ken or anybody else. You know, I don't think it's that simple. Mm-hmm. Because I think that he does use all of it. He uses all of it. And because he uses all of it to bless our lives and bless the lives of other people, to allow us to become who we need to become, to fulfill our purpose, mm-hmm. to fulfill the full measure of our creation. I think it is I think there's so many moving parts and I think it would be really hard for us in our limited understanding, being human and mortal in this world as it is, to really get how much is required to use, because we have our agency. We impose a lot of the struggle and a lot of the circumstance that we find hard. It's totally self-imposed and it's totally created, not through his creation, but through our decisions and our shortcomings, our greed, our pride, our all the things, you know, our poor choices.
Yeah.
And the fact that he uses it. And I think every now and then he gives us a little surprise and delight just for fun. And I think every now and then he allows us to come together, all of us together, and pray for a common good so that we can feel the impact of united prayer, that energy that is created, that frequency, so that we can be in tune or attuned to his voice and his influence.
Yeah.
But I think that is for our good as we move forward. I don't think it's necessary for the plans he has for us and the decisions he's going to make in terms of whose prayers get answered. It's just all useful for our experience if we'll lean into it and leverage it. And if what prayer is about is relationshiping, I think he wants a relationship with us.
Sure.
I think he wants, because he is involved in the details, he wants to be included in the dialogue of the details, the relationship of the details. And so I think it's all useful, even if it's not necessary to granted prayers or wishes. I think it benefits us. And I think we benefit whenever we relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, I think that the relationship, I heard somewhere, and it could have been, there's a great talk on prayer from many years ago. I think it was, I want to say 2008. It was Richard G. Scott, and he talked about the supernal power of prayer. And one of the things that I remember him saying is that if we pray for something, sometimes we'll get a strong yes. It's probably not super common. Sometimes we get a strong no, and that probably also is not super common. And he said many times we won't get an answer, or we'll feel like we don't get an answer. And he said that's God telling you that he trusts your judgment. He trusts your ability to make decisions. And so that's why, I don't remember if I said this, it was in my head at any rate, that many times I think we pray the wrong way. We pray for the wrong things, or for the we pray for things, or we pray for our desires, when maybe we should be praying for something different. And that is, I heard on one talk that we should be praying for our will to be aligned with God, and not necessarily for God to bend to our will.
Yes.
So what if prayer isn't my list of demands, or my list of requests, or my list of wants? What if prayer is a combination of, here's what I'm up to, here's what I'm doing in my life, here's what my plan is, and how can I take my plan and integrate it into what you want me to do? Because I personally don't believe that my dad's favorite scripture is Alma 37:37, counsel with the Lord and all thy doings. I don't think that means, so what should I have for dinner tonight? Let me pray about it. What should I, what color shirt should I wear today? Let me pray about that. What time should I leave to go to the mall? Let me pray about that. I don't think that's what it means. I think that it is more along the lines of, okay, Heavenly Father, here's what I'm up to, and I want to do what you want me to do. How can I take my interests, desires, involvements, and glorify you, or make them work towards your good? And just a little aside, and then I'll probably finish my thought. I don't think that the desires that we have, whether it's a career desire, that you may have the desire to study dentistry or philosophy or psychology or whatever. I don't think it's a relationship desire, wanting to have friends or intimate partners. I don't think those desires are outside of God's scope, meaning I don't think that he's going to give somebody a desire to go to college at this university if it's not his, if it's not within his purposes.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think I kind of love the way you approach that, and kind of, and it made me think that that the way I want to alter my prayers, because my prayers, there's still things I want, of course. Mm, sure. There's still things I pray for on the daily. There's still things that are kind of rote in my regular practice of prayer that mm-hmm. I just pray for on the daily. And I think because I'm not asking for something outside of that rote prayer every single night or every single day, I kind of want to add to my rote prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really lame that my prayers are that rote, but that's aside.
It makes them efficient.
I'm not loving that is true for me. But I think what I want to add to that, in between the things that are heavy on my heart, in between the things that I really have hope or desire in my prayers for, mm-hmm. in between those things, I guess I just want to love what the Lord would love for me.
Yeah.
Love, you know, align what I love with what the Lord has planned for me.
Right.
And I think if that was my interim prayer, then when I have something really juicy, really meaningful that I want to, or that I have strong desire and hope for, and I'm praying for that, I will already be more willing to be aligned. Yeah. I will already be more willing to put my faith in Him instead of putting my faith in the outcome or the how.
Yeah.
So
there's a theory that I have, and I have this in my notes that we may have a full discussion on this in a podcast, but it came up in a recent institute lesson that I was teaching where we were discussing the sacrifices, some of the sacrifices of the early saints. And in some cases, we have families that sell everything that they have and move to New York so that they can join the yep. church and be close to the prophet. And then the prophet says, oh, we're moving to Ohio. And so they're asked to sell everything that they have again and move yep. to Ohio. And so my theory is, because I don't know that I've ever necessarily seen this in scripture. I'd be interested in just looking for this in conference talks or things like that. But my theory is that the blessings that we receive from our sacrifice always exceed the level of our sacrifice. There's a scripture which I did not look up for this. In, I want to say it's in Mosiah, but that we're always unprofitable servants. There's no way that we can thank God enough for what He's given us, because as soon as we are righteous and grateful, He blesses us with more, which always leaves us in debt. So that's yeah. maybe the foundation of my theory. But my question is, which this will connect back to prayer, I'm sure, sometime. But my question is, if this is true, that we are always blessed to a greater degree than we sacrifice, why is sacrifice so difficult? Why is it so difficult for us? And here's the connection to prayer, that I want something so badly that I pray for it. I want my brother to survive his accident, or I want my dad to not have dementia, or whatever it is, knowing that when I look at the full perspective, the blessings for whatever sacrifice will always exceed the sacrifice. And maybe my theory is wrong, but that's my current operating theory.
I kind of buy into your theory, and I buy into it because I also think that there isn't a blessing that we have that hasn't been granted by the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. There isn't any anything that we possess, any relationship that we have, any person or object or wealth in our life that we don't get really from our own effort. It's all granted by God. I know people who effort more and who gain less wealth, and people who effort less and gain more wealth. It's all a gift from God, right? And so if it's all been given to us by God, whatever it is, and then we're asked to sacrifice it, we're not sacrificing anything that He hasn't provided for us already.
Right.
And then the net through the sacrifice, I believe, I agree with you. It's been my experience, at least, that you're always blessed more than you gave up for that. And so it's a perpetual blessing. It's funny that we call it sacrifice and that we take it so personally, like, I have to give up so much because it was all given to us.
Right.
For our good and to be used to bless our lives and bless the lives of other people. So if it's not being used to bless our lives and the lives of other people, then I don't know, what's the point of having it anyway?
It's surprising to me how much I resist. So as an example, so I recently wrote a book about goals, and I think SMART goals are evil. That's chapter two, SMART goals are evil.
Perfect.
So I have my acronym, because everybody's got to have an acronym. My acronym is STUPID, stupid goals. I don't want you to set SMART goals. I want you to set stupid goals. And the D in stupid stands for development. The whole purpose of your goal is not to achieve the goal. It's to develop. It's what you become over the course of your progress. So it's not, so let's just suppose you have a goal to be, a world-class weightlifter, which not a great goal, but that's, let's just say that's what it is. Over the course of your training, you're going to become a much stronger, much healthier person. That is the benefit of the goal. It's not getting the medal at the end of the journey. The medal, that's a nice wrap up, but it's what you gain over the course. So that is, that's the purpose of not just goals, but that's the purpose of our life, is to develop, to become, to transform. And the problem that I still have is, for me to become something different means I have to unload what I currently am. I have to shed that. And there's a tremendous hold that I have on what I am, who I am right now. And there's still part of me that, even though I know that accomplishing the thing is going to make me better, maybe healthier, maybe more wealthy, maybe more spiritual, whatever the goal is, but it doesn't make me want to get out of bed and go running in the morning, or doesn't make me want to sit down and read 45 minutes of nice scriptures or whatever. So there's this process of becoming that we still, I'll make it, because I may be the only person who deals with this, but that I resist, I resist because of, which maybe that's why I rely on prayer, because I want to stay the way that I am and have the thing. Right. And God's saying, no, you don't get to stay how you are and have the thing. I need you to be different. I need you to be better. I need you to level up. And the end result of that is you're going to have the thing. You're going to become the thing. You're going to embody the thing. And so a couple of weeks ago when we were talking to Annette, we talked about how culturally my experience is that we think of God in a transactional way, that I ask and I shall receive, seek and I will find, repent and be forgiven. And so this, over the last few weeks, I've been really thinking about, what if God's not a transactional God? And what if prayer is not transactional? I ask and then receive, or I seek and find. What if it's all about this idea of becoming, that as I connect with that frequency of God, back to the radio analogy, and understand what I need to be, do, have. I think it's less about doing, more about being, but that's maybe a different podcast. As I become who it is that he wants me to be, I naturally am going to become more integrated in this network of his plan, whatever that looks like. Yep. And it's less about the ask, get, and more about we're all part of this symbiotic organism, because I don't know of a better word for that, but the organism of God.
Yeah. I love that. I love that so much. The I don't know if you've had a chance to read Steve Young's book, The Law of Love. And I think it's such a great book, and it's such a great concept and idea, and it resonates with me personally. Mm-hmm. It's so right on point. And the idea is that the transactions are great starting points, right? They're great learning points. They're great steps as we start to practice, to put into practice the principles of the gospel and our relationship with God. It's like the primary process of prayer. I think it's a great starting point. I don't think it has to be the ending point. Right. I think it's a great place to begin when you're just being introduced to the idea.
Yeah.
But if it is true, and these are great starting points, and these transactions are great stepping points, and these principles, like you outlined, you know, seek and you shall find, repent and you'll be forgiven. These are great starting points. If God is love, if we were created in love to be loved, to love, mm-hmm. and to return to love, if love is the overarching or underlying energy that this organism, as you referred to it, is, then all of these things, whether it is sacrifice, whether it is giving up our attachments to our comfort, whether it is praying and aligning, I think the aligning is the best part of it, right? And I think love always holds the power when we are trying to align ourselves, mind, body, spirit, and align ourselves with heaven. Love has all the power, and love always required sacrificing those things, giving up those attachments. If you love a person, if you love God, if you love a cause, or it's an issue of prioritizing that over everything else.
Yeah.
And when we can do that, and we can be aligned, and we can align ourselves with God, then I think the rest is just, I don't know, it's all just the way we'll fill our time, you know, between now and then. And it can all be used easier. I think when we let love lead, we make it really easy on God. He's able to use our choices, our decisions, the way we show up in the world, so much easier to bless our lives and bless the lives of other people. But I think it's such a demonstration of how much he loves us, that he can use even our messiness, that he can use our attachment to things and people, that he can use our perceptions of ownership, as if we own our wealth, as if we own our family, as if we own our stuff. You know, he can even use that to bless our lives and bless the lives of other people.
That's true. The thing that I want to just emphasize, that you didn't say it exactly this way, but this is how I heard it. So, and then if you have anything you want to add to wrap up that, you can fix whatever I say. I think that the rules that we have, the quote unquote rules, the, you know, pray always and all that, I think like you said, it's a great starting point. We assume, I have assumed that that's the ending point. And just like the early, you know, the Old Testament children of God, yeah. those that were followers of God, probably assumed that the law of Moses was, that was the law, that this is what God wants. And no, that's just the starting point. And so if we right. think of prayer, if we think of this relationship with God, the way that we are learning in the scriptures and in conference and et cetera, if we think of that as the starting point and not the ending point, I think that makes it a little bit easier for me to think through how I can use prayer as a way to become the instrument that I can be, rather than to use it as the transaction to get what I want out of life.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I love that. And yeah, you know, just thinking about all of these things, I just think there's no risk. You know, we're yeah. all, as humans here on the planet, we are all going to put our faith in something. We are all going to be believing in something. Mm-hmm. So when we can put our faith into faith instead of our unfaith, when we can put our yeah. belief into belief instead of being unbelieving, yeah. we can, if we can align ourselves with God, if we can let love lead, and if we can be open to putting our faith into the Lord instead of the outcomes that we want, or the how we want to receive the blessings that the Lord has in store for us, I think that there is zero risk.
Yeah.
And I think that we will find ourselves showing up in the world in a much more satisfying, meaningful way. And it will be so much easier for the Lord then to to use us to be right. an instrument in his hands, and to leverage how we show up in the world to be the answer to other people's prayers.
Yeah. I love that. I feel a lot better about how God answers prayers. I don't know that it answers the question, but I think I understand better that it's, we're not looking for a transaction. So thanks so much yeah. for coming on, sharing your insights. And as always, this has been a fun conversation for me, hopefully for everybody else as well. And let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear your comments and ideas, and you can reach out to me at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?